The fifth mistake we see among our patients is that when people have an ache or a pain or loss of range of motion, perhaps after a fall, their first conclusion, even with back injuries, is that surgery is the primary and only option that they have to alleviate their pain or fix their problem. A lot of times we'll see patients who come here, we'll do an evaluation, they'll get an MRI, but you can tell in their mind that they've already made up that surgery is the route to go. You'll find among younger surgeons that they'll be extremely honest in terms of outcomes with patients, explaining that in some cases it can help, in others they'll be honest and say, we don't really know. And yet the mistake I see people make is they'll jump to the conclusion thinking, well, I just want to get this over with and get back into my life, and the surgery will get me there faster. One of the things I remind my patients is that once you've had surgery, there's no going back. It's nothing more sad for me to see a patient who's had a failed low back surgery where they're left with more pain than they had before the surgery, and now that a fusion has happened where two bones are fixated together, there's no one doing that. So now they've got more pain than they started with, and also it'll be more difficult to alleviate that pain associated with that joint. And so all I recommend to patients, and in conjunction with the surgeons that we use here, is what do you have to lose? If a surgeon is saying, I'm not so sure I can help you, we can't guarantee the prognosis, the outcome, why not try something conservative? Why not try to heal a herniated disc through an exercise program, which has been proven to heal the disc and the ligaments associated with that disc injury? If you've strained a shoulder but not torn anything that needs surgically mending, why not try 4 to 6 weeks of conservative therapy using exercises and some of the healing treatments that we have here, like ultrasound, which is a form of deep heat, and electrical muscle stimulation that alleviates the muscle spasms. There's nothing to lose, there's no side effects, and it's all very conservative. And at the end of that, if you find that there's no change, then going down the path of surgery, you know, starting up discussions with your surgeon are warranted. My point is basically that thank goodness we have surgeons, they do amazing work, but a surgeon will tell you themselves that that should be the last option that someone takes, because there's no one doing the effects of surgery once muscles have been cut and bones have been fused together. Very difficult to undo that. Number six on the list, and this is one of my pet peeves, is that patients don't know their medications and side effects. And the only reason why I say one of my pet peeves is one of the founding considerations we mention all patients is when you become involved in your health care, your level of health increases. You become a healthier person. There's no doubt about that. Because you become informed, you realize, once you become informed, the rules which the body has to abide by. Let me give you an example. Someone comes in with low back pain, and we do an evaluation, checking range of motion, evaluating nerve function, muscle strength. And let's say none of those are extremely unusual. When we ask a little bit about someone's lifestyle, They'll say that they don't drink water. It's summertime. They drink 6 to 8 pops a day with NutraSweet. Their diet is Dunkin' Donuts in the morning, McDonald's in the afternoon. If this type of diet is done for a prolonged period of time where there's white sugar, white flour, carbonated beverages, NutraSweet, and the sodas, eventually that will have an indirect effect on the muscle and skeletal system. It's not that it'll break down, but it just won't function at as high a level as it would with proper nutrition. And the only reason why I bring this up is when someone says that, well, I'm taking a pink pill and I take that once a day, but I have to be honest, I don't take it every day. But I don't know why the doctor put me on that. And then I've got that blue pill. Well, I ran out of that blue pill about 2 weeks ago and I just stopped taking that. And I don't think I'm going to go back to the doctor and do that again. That's someone who's not informed about their health whatsoever. And a lot of times they're jeopardizing their health. That blue pill might have been for their heart. And if the cardiologist knew, if the heart doctor knew that they weren't taking that blue pill, because by not taking it, they're increasing their risk of a heart attack fourfold. The heart attack is just waiting to happen. It's unfortunate. And so we encourage people to know the medications they're taking. And in the same right, because we have a natural pharmacy here at the office where we treat conditions like cholesterol and blood pressure and headaches and other health-related issues with natural products, when we put someone on natural products, if they want it, we give them the research materials that are associated. We show them the testing that has gone into the products. We show them that everything we carry here is pharmaceutical grade, because they should know that. They should be aware of why they're taking the things at the office here and why we as an office chose the products that we did. That we only use pharmaceutical grade vitamins and minerals. And that the reason why I'm giving this to them is for their cholesterol, to alleviate that. So the bottom line is, similar to what someone might say, consumer beware or buyer beware, I would also say that patients should beware as well. They should know what they're taking. Very often, the most trusted person in healthcare, which is a pharmacist, is a great asset in this category. So if you're not aware of what your medications are for, or what dosage you're taking for medication, that's another one we'll see. I'll say, well, if you're taking a beta blocker, which is for heart conditions, well, how many milligrams are you taking of that? And people simply don't know. But use your local pharmacist as an ally. They're a wonderful source of information and more than willing to help. So my suggestion would be to know your medications and know your health too. And certainly know the side effects that some of those medications can have, because you'll start to notice and put it together that some of the physical side effects that you're getting began with some of the medications. And that can lead you to a discussion with your medical doctor of changing the medication or lowering the dosage. Just you being able to share with the doctor your physical reaction to the medication they've put you on. And the seventh and final mistake that we see patients partake in here is that they take their health for granted. And when they do that, sometimes it's too late and there's nothing we can do. The best example I can give you is during the summer we'll sometimes see people who have very physical jobs that involves a lot of heavy lifting. and they're working long hours, very often outside in the sun. And if they injure their back during that period, and I understand that's the time of year where they need to make money, but if they injure their back that time of year, trying to get them into our clinic on a consistent basis where they receive the proper treatment and go through the proper treatment plan to heal their injury permanently becomes quite a challenge from a practitioner's standpoint. And what a lot of them fail to realize is that if they don't work with that injury initially, that sometimes that can become a chronic, nagging problem which never gets fixed. And by them putting that off and not getting it treated initially in the proper way, they've really created more of a problem than there needed to be. That's always a frustrating and sad thing to see. Because once you have an injury like that, you could have all the money and riches in the world, but if you don't have your health, now you've lost that ability to enjoy that money, to travel where you may want to go, to spend that money, and your quality of life has been compromised. Part of the reason why I got into this business is I saw through my father injuring his back in the Korean War, and the pain that he went through when I was a child, I saw how physical pain can affect someone's quality of life and their ability to enjoy life. And so my concern here is that people learn to control that level of pain so that they can really live a full and actualized life, and that they don't feel that the pain controls them. Instead, they're an active participant in their healing process so that they can live a full life. And so I hope that you found reviewing these 7 mistakes helpful, and I wish you a full and actualized life by looking at yourself and continuing to work through the healing process.